Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us your word in Scripture and for the scribes and translators who have brought it to us through so many years. Guide me in reading it. Give Ron discernment and wisdom as he speaks from it. And give us all ears to hear and hearts and minds to understand your truth. Amen. The second scripture reading is from Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 19. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord.
What do you believe about the Bible? Many different people hold different views of the Bible and the authority of Scripture in their own lives. Sometimes people believe that it's just written down by ancient religious people, a lot of wise sayings that they said. Others, at the other extreme, say this is the God inspired the entire Bible, and it applies very literally to our lives. There's a whole range of views on here, but here today, the writer of Hebrews gives us a very direct and pointed direction that this is inspired. The whole Bible is inspired by God, and it is his speaking to each one of us. Not just 2,000 years ago, not just when it was written, but it is God speaking to us today, here in Haines, in June of 2016. Watch what he says here. He starts off very plainly and clearly. Therefore, or so, as the Holy Spirit says, as he says now, not as he said, as the Holy Spirit says, and then he quotes from Psalm 95. The psalmist who wrote it many thousands of years ago, the writer of the Hebrews, this was written down clearly more than 500 years before Hebrews was written. He says, the Holy Spirit says this today and now. He knows that the psalmist, Psalm 95, was inspired by God. The Psalms were the hymn book, if you will, of ancient Israel. That's why they came and worshiped God as a book of prayer and book of hymns. But it's more than that. As the writer of Hebrews indicates, it was inspired by God, and it is God revealing himself, the Holy Spirit speaking through the Psalms. We don't normally think of the Psalms as being a direction and clarification and God speaking directly into our lives, but that's what he says right here. The Holy Spirit speaks and says to me, to you. None of us exempt. It's speaking even today. So let's look at what God is saying to us here today as we look at this. Today, if you hear His voice, God's voice. Do you hear God's voice? Have you wanted to hear God's voice? He speaks to you, is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's speaking to you. Can you hear Him? Well, the way we hear Him most often is when we read the Bible. The Bible is what God's Word is speaking very directly to us. And He says, when we hear God's Word, when we read this, then do not harden your heart. Now, there's a couple of different ways we can harden our heart. Many different ways. The first way is if we don't open up this book. You know, we can leave it lying on the shelf. And I heard many years ago that a dusty Bible shows a very unclean life. Okay? You got to get it off the shelf and you got to open it up and you have to read it. For God to speak to you. And when you hear God's Word, you have to do it with an open, soft heart. So let's look back at Psalm 95 and see what the writer of the Hebrews is drawing from. First of all, Psalm 95 starts off, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." It's a call to worship. The first seven verses are a call to come into worship. But then in the middle of the seventh verse, as the psalmist is calling us all into come and worship and praise God, there's a huge warning. Today, if only you would hear His voice. We need to hear His voice daily, each and every day. Today, not tomorrow. Don't put it off till tomorrow. You know, we like to live in the future, don't we? Oh, I'll do this when I graduate from high school. You thinking about that, Mark? High school graduation sometime? I mean, don't we live that way? We just till graduation. And then, for some, go to college just till I get out of college. Maybe when I get married, when that baby comes, I'll start, right? We're going to start living our lives then? Well, the psalmist says, and the writer of Hebrews says, today, do it. Read the Bible today. Each and every day. Do not harden your hearts as you did when you rebelled against God. He's talking about and reminding us of the Exodus story. Remember the Exodus story? You'll remember it if you've been reading your Bible, right? The Exodus story, of course, God sent Moses and rescued His people out of Egypt. And then they wandered for 40 years rebelling against God. Because He offered them a place of rest. And the place of rest He offered them was the promised land. The land of Canaan. That was the rest He offered them. And they came and as they saw the mighty wonders and works that He did to rescue them out of Egypt, they sent spies in to see what it was like. And when the spies came back, they said, "Oh no, we're afraid. We can't go in there. They're too powerful for us." After they just saw the Lord defeat the most powerful army on the face of the earth at its time. And they were afraid. And that was the rebellion of the people against God because their hearts were hardened. Now, so the writer of the Hebrews uses this. Don't harden your hearts like the Israelites did in the Exodus. Now, this is more than just an example. Saying, don't do what they did. That, it's more than that. Because the New Testament talks over and over again about we are on the continuation of this. We're part of Jesus' exodus. As He is freeing us from sin and slavery to sin. As we continue on this journey, we're a part of the initial exodus journey. And we're just continuing on. So yes, it's a reminder. Don't harden your hearts. Don't rebel. But instead, continue to follow after God. Don't let the unbelief and hardness interfere with your relationship with the Lord. Why? What happens? Here we see that the Israelites, their hearts were hardened by their fear. Seems like fear can cause us to sin, can't it? Do we face any fears right now? During the prayer of the people, Shannon mentioned the recent vote that happened in Great Britain and the turmoil that's happening throughout the world because all of a sudden things are new. People are acting out of fear. What does the Bible say? What does God say about fear? I haven't actually counted them, but I've heard that there are 365 times God commands in the Bible to somebody, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Now, I know there's more than 300. I've read that. Okay, I know I've read enough of them. I don't know if it's exactly 365. I didn't try and count them. But, you know, that sounds pretty good. One for each day, right? Okay, so over 300, I'm sure of. Do not be afraid. Trust in the Lord instead. We face many, many fears. Many fears of our own making, many fears of things that happen from the outside, fears of disease, fears of death. Last week we talked about the greatest fear is our fear of death. And yet Christ has overcome our greatest fear. But we let fear harden our hearts. That leads to rebellion against God. What other things cause us to harden our hearts? The writer of the Hebrews here says, the deceitfulness of sin. Have you ever thought of sin being deceitful? How can it be deceitful? Well, let's take your own life right now. Sin itself is a progression, isn't it? The deceitfulness of sin. You allow yourself to engage in just a little tiny small sin, right? You know it's wrong, but you think, well, nobody's going to see. Nobody's going to get hurt. It's going to be okay. And you allow yourself to go that one little thing. And all of a sudden, you find out, well, yeah, nobody did see. I didn't get caught. It's really okay. And you start doing it again and again and again. And all of a sudden it becomes a habit. And now something that you knew was wrong has become a habit in your life. Right? Am I, you all understand this? You with me on here? Okay. It becomes a habit and all of a sudden you no longer think it's wrong anymore. And if somebody challenges you on that, boy, do you have the rationalizations for it, don't you? And so then the next one, after this little one has become a habit, it's easier to go on to the next one. And pretty soon we find out that we have a fairly hard heart. And this warning here is that when our hearts become hard, that leads to unbelief. Let me rephrase that. Well, not rephrase it. Let me say it again. When our hearts start becoming hard, it leads to unbelief and rebellion against God. And the warning here is, if we harden our hearts, if we lose our belief, if we start rebelling against God, we will not enter into God's rest. Just like the people, just like the Israelites who hardened their hearts, rebelled against God, they did not enter into the promised land. When they complained to Moses about their fear of the Canaanites, they said, we're going to be killed by them, our children are going to be enslaved. Well, the ones who were afraid, they died in the desert, and their children entered into the promised land, right? So when we rebel against God, it's showing our unbelief, our failure to trust in Him. We allow fear, we allow sin to overtake us. You see, the progression of what this writer of Hebrews is saying, we have to hear His voice first, and we do that by studying this book. We have to hear his voice, we have to believe in Him, and then we have to have obedience. And that even means the small stuff. Because the small stuff is what the deceitfulness of sin starts letting it grow within our lives. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, this really isn't I don't do too much stuff. You know, I don't do, this doesn't apply to me. There's another thing that we do in the church that we have deceived ourselves for. We have a doctrine in Reformed theology, and we are a Reformed church. Doctrine that says the preservation of the saints. Anybody heard of that before? Nobody? Oh, well, then I don't have to preach this part. No, I'm going to anyway. Maybe you've heard it phrased a little differently. Once saved, always saved. Anybody heard of that? Yeah, now there's some recognition. Once saved, always saved really is not in the Bible. What the preservation or the perseverance of the saints means, that if you hold firm in your faith, God is the one who promises your salvation, and He is secure, okay? You can count on that. But just as we've seen before, through already in a couple different instances in Hebrews, we must remain firm in our faith. Remember in chapter 2, where the warning was, do not drift away? Remember that? That was just a couple of weeks ago. Anybody remember? Anybody here? Yes, Marilyn. Thank you. One. Praise God. Yeah, you weren't here, Heather. I know. And then remember just last week. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Keep fixed on Him. Because we are part of His household, part of His family. And the warning last week was, we are part of His household, part of His family, only if we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we have glory. Only when we stay firm in our belief. And He goes on now this week, and He encourages us, do not let your hearts be hardened. Read your Bible. Hear God's voice. Believe in Christ. And stay firm in your faith and obey what it says. And then he goes on, the writer goes on, and he says afterwards, see to it, brother, at verse 12, see to it that, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That starts with the small stuff. And when we have that sinful, unbelieving heart, then we turn against God. This is the deceitfulness of sin. And with the way He encourages us to protect against that is to gather together and encourage one another. Gather together, follow the call to worship in Psalm 95. Gather together, worship matters, and encourage one another. When one of us falls, the others are there to help pick them up. We don't do this in isolation. How many of you have engaged in a sinful behavior in a group where the group around you is other believers in Christ, and you do it openly in front of them? We don't do that. We do it in isolation. Well, sometimes we do it with another group, and everybody's engaged in the same behavior. But we don't want others to see. When you're isolated, when you're alone, that's when sin starts creeping in. And so when we gather together and worship, we gather together and praise God. We thank Him for all of His gracious acts. We thank Him for His mercy and His compassion and the forgiveness He gives us in Jesus Christ. When we do those things together, we can encourage one another to stay away from our fears, to stay away from the sin that is trying to deceive us. Together, worship matters. Worship matters so much, but it also matters that we do so with clean hearts, without letting sin encroach. And finally, beginning at verse 16, the writer of the Hebrews makes sure that we hear this message. And he goes through and he says, who was it in the desert that had rebelled and had hard hearts against God? Who was it? It wasn't the pagans. It wasn't the Canaanites. It wasn't the Gentiles around. It wasn't some other people. It was the ones who God had brought out of Egypt. It was His people. It was the ones who saw the Red Sea part. And they walked through on dry land. And if they could sin and rebel against God, then any one of us could also. It's not the person sitting down the pew from you. It's you. That's what he's saying. Okay? It's not somebody else that he's writing this to. It's to you and to me. Each one of us, nobody is immune from the fears and the sinfulness that can lead to hard hearts and rebellion against God. So what are we going to do about it? It applies to us. First and foremost, we need to hear God's word by reading it or having it read to us. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we need to obey what he tells us to do. And then he promises that we will enter into his rest. Now in Psalm 95, that meant the promised land, the land of Canaan, right? That's not what it means. It applies to us. God's rest has a great, big meaning to it. God's rest is his perfect peace. Peace in Hebrew is shalom. You may have heard that. His peace doesn't mean just an absence of warfare. His peace means wholeness, perfectness, everything working as it should, everything connected, no disputes, everything working together, and everything whole and perfect. Now, doesn't mean that there will not have to be hard work. Doesn't mean that there may not be difficulties and problems that you incur in your life. But it does mean that God is present with you in the midst of that. Whatever struggles you are facing, whatever difficulties you're facing, whatever things you are afraid of, God promises to be in the midst of it with you. That is His rest, His peace, His shalom, His wholeness will be there. God is a God of great and enormous love. So much love that we cannot imagine what it is like. He loves each one of us. And he has a perfect peace, a perfect shalom, a perfect rest for every one of us from whatever it is we're afraid or from whatever it is that is keeping us away from him. He offers it and he welcomes us back with open arms. And he wants to give you his peace, his rest, his perfect wholeness in your life. And he promises to be with you in the midst of anything that you're facing. Will you accept his offer? Can you hold firm to your faith? Can you hear his voice? Can you obey his perfect will? My prayer today is that you can say, yes, yes, Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you call us into a relationship and that you speak to us daily. Help us, Lord, to open the Bible daily, to hear your voice in the pages of Scripture, to know that it is the Holy Spirit who is speaking to us through these words, that we can believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and that we can obey. Help us to enter into your perfect peace and your place of rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.